Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 23. Please repeat. Jivan,
Jivan,
Shava,
Shava,
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
Angri Renum,
Angri Renum,
Na,
Na,
Jatu,
Jatu,
Martya,
Martya,
Abhilabeta,
Abhilabeta,
Ya,
Ya,
Tu, Shri Vishnupadya
Vishnupadya
Manuja
Manuja
Tulasya
Tulasya
Shvasan
Shvasan
Shava
Shava
Ya
Ya
Tu
Tu
Naveda
Naveda
Gandam
Gandam
Jivan chava bhagavatam grirenum najatu martyo bilabeta yastu Sri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya swasan chava yastu naveda gandham Jivan chavo bhagavatam grirenum na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu Sri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya swasan chavo yastu na veda gandham Jivan
Jivan,
while living, Shava,
Shava,
a dead body,
Bhagavata Angri Renum,
the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, Na,
never,
Jatu,
at any time.
Martya,
mortal.
Abhilabheta,
particularly received.
Ya,
a person.
To,
but.
Shri,
with opulence,
Vishnupadya,
Vishnupadya,
of the lotus feet of Vishnu,
Manuja,
a descendant of Manu,
a man,
Tulasya,
leaves of the tulsi tree.
Shvasan,
while breathing.
Shava,
still a dead body.
Ya,
who?
To,
but.
Naveda,
never experienced.
Gandam,
Gandam, the aroma. Translation. The person who has not at any time Shanti. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee.
Received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee.
Upon his head.
Upon his head.
Is certainly a dead body.
Is certainly a dead body.
And the person who has never experienced.
And the person who has never experienced.
The aroma of the tulsi leaves. From the lotus feet of the Lord, is also a dead body,
although breathing.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees, who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples, creates a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of Paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:12:12. Rahuganaita tapasana jati na che jaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina mahat padarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity. The Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee, therefore, never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to the Lord's lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the Lord, of the devotee, than that of the Lord directly. And by doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Translation again. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. So we have gathered here to try to revive our dormant love for Krishna. and the process recommended here and in other places is to receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada quoted a verse from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that one can achieve the perfectional stage of devotional service by being blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. One cannot achieve that stage by tapasya, by the Vedic worshipping process, by sannyas ashram, by grihastha ashram, by performing austerities in the hot sun, in cold water, or before the blazing fire. When I first came to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I was naturally introduced to the process of devotional service as practiced by Srila Prabhupada's disciples in his temples and those processes included deity worship, chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, offering one's food to the deities, honoring prasad, distributing books, so many activities. But one night, I had a significant conversation with Tamal Krishna Goswami in Calcutta, which enlightened me and altered my perspective on devotional service. It was quite late. I'm not sure what time, but the devotees did take rest early by around 9 o'clock. So, but it would have been after 9 o'clock because all the other devotees were asleep. And yeah, I was on the balcony. I don't know how many of you have seen the Calcutta temple. I was on the balcony. And Tamal Krishna Goswami came out and started to talk to me. Sort of, began to open his heart to me, reveal his mind to me. And he said that the secret of success in devotional service is to please the spiritual master. And as I mentioned, I had been reading books, I had been following the temple programs, I'd been doing service. But to me, they were all different items. I didn't really distinguish one as being more important than another. But I just took them all as part of devotional service and as things that we had to do and develop taste for. But in this discussion, Tamal Krishna Goswami suggested that there was a central point or a focal point, which was to serve the spiritual master and please the spiritual master. Somehow his words entered my heart, and I had like a little revolution in consciousness. My perspective changed, and then the focal point became serving the spiritual master and pleasing the spiritual master. We still did the various activities. We still got up in the morning, attended the morning program, Mangal Arati, and chanted our rounds and heard Srimad Bhagavatam and did various services during the day. But the focal point became a service to the spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada himself attributed his success to his faithful following of the orders of his spiritual master. He came to the West, arrived in New York at the age of 70, and began the Krishna consciousness movement on the order of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English throughout the world. And he came with, I think, 40 rupees, which in those days was, it became $7. And his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And that was about all. But with faith in his spiritual master, he took all risks at an advanced age, and in the end he was successful. This is the parampara system. Srila Prabhupada served his spiritual master, his spiritual master served his spiritual master, his spiritual master served his spiritual master, and all the way back to Lord Chaitanya, and then to Radha and Krishna. And that is the way to please Krishna. We can't approach Krishna directly, we can't please Krishna directly, but by pleasing his servant through disciplic succession, we please him. So it's like a chain. Of course, both kinds of, well, a chain and like a train. Srila Prabhupada said it was like a train in the sense that his Guru Maharaj was, I guess the image would be of a train where the locomotive is at the back. And he said, you know, he was being pushed by his Guru Maharaj, and now, you know, he was pushing us. And then we also push the next generation. So it's a great train or chain, and by that process we are ultimately
admitted into the association of the Lord. When we are recommended by our spiritual master, say in our case, recommended by Srila Prabhupada to his spiritual master, he will accept us. And then when he recommends us to his spiritual master, he will accept us. And then all the way back through the cyclic succession to Srimati Radharani. And when she accepts us and recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna will accept us. I had a very interesting conversation with our godbrother Satsvarupa Das Goswami, and he told of an experience he had, an experience and a thought that he had. He was in India, and it became the time of Purushottama Mas, which is approaching. Just like in the Gregorian calendar, solar calendar, every year, we lose maybe a quarter of a day. So every 4 years there's leap year. They add an extra day to February. So in the Vedic calendar or lunar calendar, you know, every year they lose several days. And then every 3 years they add a month. And that's called Purushottama Mas, Adhik Mas. And so that month is considered to be more potent even than Kartik. Kartik is a special month every year in which the value or the effects of one's devotional service and one's austerities is magnified. And Purushottama Mas, I've heard different versions, but it's something like three times more potent than Kartik Mas. So during Purushottama Mas, some years ago, Satsvarupa Maharaj went to Purushottama Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, to observe the special month. And at the time he was sort of attracted to the association of a Gaudiya Vaishnava, a senior Gaudiya Vaishnava outside of ISKCON. So he went, and you know, he wanted to have the association of that sadhu, but that sadhu was speaking mainly in Hindi, and he didn't seem to be paying any special attention to Satsvarupa Maharaj or give any consideration to the fact that he had, you know, taken this time out of his busy schedule specifically to be with him in Jagannath Puri. And he just felt uncomfortable. And he had the thought that, you know, Srila Prabhupada had created ISKCON for him, for people like him, and that he could never really feel at home outside of ISKCON. And then he started to consider that by turning himself into a disciple, so sort of Shiksha disciple of this venerable Vaishnava, he was taking a gamble. He was taking a gamble because he wasn't really sure where he stood in relation to that sadhu, and where that sadhu would stand in relation to him. And he imagined approaching the precincts of Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, and being met by a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper would ask him, who are you? And he imagined saying, I'm a disciple of that sadhu. And then he imagined the gatekeeper sort of checking with that sadhu, and he wasn't sure what would happen. He just wasn't sure how it would all work. So then he imagined the same scenario. Come to the precincts of Goloka Vrindavan, and the gatekeeper would ask, who are you? And he would say, I'm a disciple of Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the gatekeeper would say, right, wait a moment, I will check. And then the gatekeeper would approach Srila Prabhupada and tell him, Satsvarupa Das has come. And then he imagined that Srila Prabhupada would say, Satsvarupa? My Satsvarupa? Call him immediately. And he felt very confident and sure about that relationship. So Krishna consciousness is very personal. I mean, we have our processes, but the processes are also personal. But the goal of our activities is to please the Lord's servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And by that process, we ultimately are brought to Srimati Radharani, and then when she accepts us and recommends us, then we are introduced to Krishna. There's one song, there are others, but there's one song by Narottam Das Thakur in which he mentions, leaving this mortal body and taking birth in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he, in the form of a gopi, in his case, he envisioned himself in the form of a gopi. And his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami, was also there in the form of a gopi. I believe named Manjuali. And so this Manjuali gopi. So then Rupa Manjari, there's like a hierarchy, there's like a parampara even in the spiritual world. And so the leader of the Manjaris, or the maid servants of Radharani, is Rupa Manjari. So Rupa Manjari says, "Who is this new gopi?" And Manjuali says, "Oh, this is Narottam Das Thakur," or whatever his name is, in the spiritual world, and, you know, please engage him in service. And then Rupa Manjari accepts the new girl and engages her in service, and then eventually Rupa Manjari introduces her to Radharani, and Radharani introduces her to Krishna. So that is our system of parampara. So we have parampara here in the material world, and we have parampara there in the spiritual world. And the same types of relationships here are replicated in the spiritual world. We find this in Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila, that many of Krishna's associates in Goloka Vrindavan take birth in Navadvip and other places to assist the Lord in his pastimes as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And many of the same types of relationships continue. In Krishna Lila, many of the principal associates of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, are gopis. They're in female forms. And in Gaur Lila, they take birth in male forms, mainly in Brahmin families, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in a Brahmin family. And the same hierarchy that exists in Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna Lila also existed in Gaur Lila. And one example is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari in Krishna Lila. So he, you know, took birth in a very wealthy family. His father and uncle were like kings, very wealthy zamindars or landlords outside Calcutta. That huge estate, mansions. They had their own like dock, their own like port. Very wealthy. And he was their only son. Anyway, it's a long story. He wanted to get free from the entanglements of household life. And, it was not easy. But he really, really wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he eventually escaped. And he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami was Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary. or an assistant, and Raghunath Das was sort of Damodar's assistant. So Prabhupada said he was like the assistant personal secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then after Lord Chaitanya and his intimate associates in Puri left, Raghunath Das Goswami felt completely bereft, distraught, and he felt he could not live without them. So he decided to go to Vrindavan, where Rupa and Sanatan were based, and to give up his body by jumping from Govardhan Hill. So he went there. At first he wanted to offer respects to Rupa and Sanatan. And they told him, you know, you had so much personal association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. You shouldn't give up your body. You should stay with us. And every day you can speak to us about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Puri. And they accepted him as their younger brother. And so he became very attached to them, especially Rupa Goswami. Very attached to Rupa Goswami. And then when Rupa Goswami eventually left, he again felt devastated. And he so much loved Govardhan Hill and Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami. But in the absence of Rupa Goswami, after he left, he said that to him, Govardhan Hill was like a python, and anyway, he felt great separation. But he continued. He lived till an old age and left books for us, excavated Radhakund, did so many things. So we see in this example that he wanted to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his goal. He wanted to escape from the shackles of family life to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and others, he did. But when he got to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu placed him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And then, after Swarup Damodar Goswami left, he, took shelter of Rupa Goswami. Now, in Krishna Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, depending how you view him, is Radharani, or Krishna, or Radha Krishna. But he wasn't directly serving Srimati Radharani, but he was serving under Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is like the most intimate girlfriend, Sakhi, of Srimati Radharani. But he also didn't serve directly under Lalita Devi, but he served under Rupa Goswami, who was Rupa Manjari. And that's sort of the
like the transcendental hierarchy in Krishna Lila. And the same hierarchy existed in Chaitanya Lila, except instead of being in the form of ladies, gopis, Radharani, Lalita Devi, Rupa Manjari, they were in the form of men, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Rupa Goswami. So, in ISKCON, too, there may also be a similar phenomenon. Say, in the case of Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was like, you could say, Srila Prabhupada's main secretary, certainly one of the main secretaries. And he would function in the capacity of, helping people approach Srila Prabhupada and, helping guide them, train them, make them better servants of Srila Prabhupada. Devotees have reported experiences after Tamal Krishna Goswami left, in which he was functioning in a similar capacity, like Srila Prabhupada's secretary and visiting them in a subtle form. Anyway, I don't want to make too much of the specifics of the relationships, but I could say confidently that if our relationship with Srila Prabhupada is eternal, if we're in that line of Srila Prabhupada and our relationship with him is eternal, then our relationships with the other servants of Srila Prabhupada who have eternal relationships with him are also eternal. So, Srila Prabhupada did say that we will have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. I heard that he said no GBC. But then someone said, well, maybe the GBC will be the six Goswamis. Yeah, so this statement, there will be another ISKCON in the spiritual sky, comes from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote that was very instructive. And the letter was written to Tushta Krishna Das, who had been... There's a little history here, but anyway, there was a devotee named Sai, and he was initiated, and he had his own, somehow he had read Prabhupada's books, and he started his own movement in Hawaii based on Srila Prabhupada's books, and they would chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books, distribute Prabhupada's books. But he had sort of a mellow approach, and
think he had a farm community, and he had good ideas, wanted to be self-sufficient and sort of not be too heavy on people, but sort of let them come and, you know, have a good experience and gradually, you know, accept what they could. So one of his followers was this devotee who, so when Sai took initiation, so most of his followers also took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and one of them was Tushta Krishna Prabhu. So Tushta Krishna Prabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and I haven't read his letter to Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada's letter alludes to Tushta Krishna Prabhu's letter, and in Prabhupada's letter he says that in your letter you write that, you know, Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee, and he should be followed. And then Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who is sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. And if you distinguish that Siddha Swarup is a pure devotee, and others who are not Siddha Swarup are not pure devotees, you will create factions. And he said that, yeah, he repeated that anyone who sincerely follows the instructions of the spiritual masters is a pure devotee. And then he said, you know, why do you want to go back to Godhead only with Siddha Swarup? And then he mentioned Shamsundar Prabhu, who was the, I think he was like the GBC. Anyway, he was one of the authorities under which Tushta Krishna Prabhu was placed. So he said, you know, Siddha Swarup is a good soul. You will go back to Godhead. Shamsundar will go back to Godhead. You know, everyone will go back to Godhead. And we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. He said, only Mr. Nair, he will not go. Yeah. Mr. Nair was the owner of the Juhu land, who tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada and harass the devotees. And actually, Tushta Krishna Prabhu was the first one to meet him. So that was, you will go, Siddha Swarup will go, Shamsundar will go, everyone will go, only Mr. Nair will not go. And we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. So we are here to practice our devotional service so that we can perfect our service and go back to Godhead. And this, as quoted in the verse from the fifth canto, the perfectional stage of devotional service cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. So we want to perfect our service here so that we'll be eligible to do service in the spiritual world. And to do that, we have to be blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's pure devotee. And, you know, as Tamal Krishna Goswami once sort of exclaimed to Srila Prabhupada in Srila Prabhupada's last days, that, you know, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees love you so much? And Srila Prabhupada replied, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate after I leave to maintain this institution. So, yes, we can get the mercy of the pure devotee, of the spiritual master, by chanting 16 rounds, following the regulated principles, doing everything that we're meant to do as devotees. But beyond that, we're also meant to preach. And to preach means that we have to work cooperatively. And that cooperative effort to spread Krishna consciousness is really what will please Srila Prabhupada and the parampara. Because in the spiritual world, we have to cooperate. Can you imagine, you know, Lalita Devi calls for some manjari, please, please, we need camphor. So one manjari says, you know, starts to bring it to them. Hey, you, look, I'm going to bring the camphor. You get out of the way. They said, no, this is my service. You have some other service. And in the meantime, they get embroiled in their own quarreling. And Lalita Devi's waiting for the camphor for Radha and Krishna, like sometimes happens here. So, yeah, we have to practice working cooperatively. We have to practice developing the mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopi damsels of Vrindavan. Yeah. Of course, there may be little altercations, you know, differences or disagreements. That's sort of natural. That's not a problem. That's not a problem in and of itself. But there should be no disruption to the service. But there can be differences of opinion. It's not a problem. And Srila Prabhupada said even in the spiritual world there are different camps. But the goal is, you know, how to please Krishna best. And whatever anyone does in the spiritual world is for Krishna's pleasure. There's no other motive than to make Krishna happy. But there may be a difference of opinion as to how to make Krishna happy. Like you might have heard, you know, Vamya Bhav and Dakshina Bhav, the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis. So, yeah, so they have different ideas. You know, the right-wing gopis, Dakshina Bhav, they're more like submissive and docile, and they feel that's the best way to please Krishna. And the left-wing gopis, or in Vamya Bhav, they're like more contrary, and they believe, you know, Krishna's more pleased when you're contrary, when you don't just easily and submissively and docilely agree what he wants. So, even in the spiritual world, they're different perspectives on how best to please Krishna, but the only motive is to please Krishna. There's no other motive. And Krishna is, in fact, pleased with all of the devotees in
Goloka Vrindavan in all of their different moods, and he relishes their service and devotion to him. So that's natural, that we're all individuals. We have individual realizations of Krishna consciousness. We have individual approaches to devotional service. That's not a problem. I remember one story that His Holiness Ratatvaja Swami told here one year, that he was visiting Tamal Krishna Goswami in Cambridge, and they were taking prasad together. And Tamal Krishna Goswami was not at all satisfied with the service. And he was being very heavy on the cook and the server. And Ratatvaja Swami said to Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know, I don't think I could ever be a guru because I could never deal with my servants the way you deal with your servants. and Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you know, you don't have to deal with them the way I do. You know, you be a guru in your way, and I'll be a guru in my way. I'll train them in my way, you train them in your way. So this is like individuality. It's individuality. You know, another story that comes to mind, another incident that comes to mind was when there's like a very wealthy man, very well respected and reputed in Bombay. Apart from his own personal wealth, he was the head of the Trimurti organization in Bombay, some cultural, like sort of Hindu cultural association, very well reputed and respected. So, you know, people were saying, oh, you should meet him, make him a life member. So he lived, in those days, there were only maybe like three like real high-rise apartment buildings in Bombay. And he lived at the top of one of them. So Tamal Krishna Goswami went to make him a life member. And he was a very convincing, had a very convincing approach. But this Mr. Bhatia didn't want to become a life member. And at the end, Tamal Krishna Goswami looked at him and said, you know, Mr. Bhatia, I'm glad you didn't become a life member. Because we don't want people like you as members of our society. And he, you know, packed away all of his books, you know, and the photos and everything, put them in his briefcase and sort of stormed out of the apartment, and he, you know, pressed the button for the lift and was waiting for it to come. And Mr. Bhatia came running out. Please, Swamiji, please, Swamiji, I want to become your member. Please. Please accept me, I want to become your member. Well, okay. and he went back. So Tamal Krishna goes, so he went back in. Mr. Bhatia signed the forms and became the member. Now, I made many life members in Bombay, but I could
I could not make a member like that. Yeah, I might have been able to make Mr. Bhatia a member. I don't know. But if I did, it wouldn't have been that way. But he became a member. That was the main thing. He became a member, and, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami made him a member in his way. I might have been able to make him a member in my way, or maybe not. Someone else might have made him a member in his way, or maybe not. So we all will have our individual natures, our individual realizations of Krishna consciousness, our individual ways of doing things. But the main thing is that our goal should be to please Guru and Krishna. And in that process of pleasing them, we have to work cooperatively, because that is what pleases them. And so working cooperatively is part of pleasing them, along with chanting, reading, worshipping the deity, taking prasad, not talking prajalpa, not eating bhoga, and, you know, all the other things that form principles of our personal practice. Because that is what we'll do in the spiritual world. Will be part of a cooperative effort. And the ultimate goal of that effort is to make Krishna happy. And that's the goal of our effort here. So this is just practice. And as Srila Prabhupada said, if you're in high school and you're doing college-level work, you can be promoted to college. So in the same way, if you're in the material world and you're doing the same activities of the spiritual world, you can be promoted to the spiritual world. So these are the activities of the spiritual world. But we have to perfect our performance of those activities, our personal sadhana and our cooperative effort to spread Krishna consciousness. So now I would like to invite one or two devotees to speak a little. When I arrived here, these two brahmacharis, Nandanath Kishore and Shakshi Gopal, greeted me and told me that they had gone out to distribute books yesterday and today. And so they're like very eager to tell me about some of their experiences. So I thought, you know, that they could tell me in your presence, and that way you all could get to share some of their experiences. So would either or both of you like to say something?
We started yesterday around 4:00. I went to go pick up Shakshi from school.
Would you like to stand up or...
I went to pick up Shakshi at school. Just hold it. I'm 12 years old.
I'm 11.
It's
So yesterday at 4 o'clock, I went to go pick up Shakshi from school so we could go do books. And we tried to get Geary into it, but I guess Geary really didn't want to go. So Shakshi spent like 30 minutes trying to convince him.
He said no.
So we went to down the street where there's some convenience stores, and no one would buy a book there. So we saw a lot of people at the liquor store right across the street. So Shakshi was like, okay, let's go there. And I was like, all right. So the first person that pulled up, I was like, all right, Shakshi, you go get this one. I bet you could get this one. Tell us.
And then I did, and she got out of the car, and she's like, hey, guys. Oh, sorry. And she was, like, really into it, and she stopped what she was doing. She was about to go inside, and then she went to the ATM machine inside there, and it was broken, so she went to a gas station, and she got it for us, and she gave us an extra dollar. She gave us, like, $6. And she took the book.
So we made, like, $50 in that area that day. And then this morning, we went to the morning program, and after class, Shakshi was like, I got really inspired by Maharaj. I was like, yeah, I did too. And then he was like, and then we were like, all right, let's get an early head start so we could go out and make some good lakshmi today. And so we got kicked out of like, maybe like 4 different parking lots. But the first place we really started doing good was like Whole Foods, actually. Everyone was given donations at Whole Foods. But then we wound up getting kicked out of there. And then I think we went to the strip mall. And then one lady gave us like $10 for a book. And she told us a good yoga place to go to. And so we went to the yoga place, and the security guard was like, what are you guys doing? And I was like, we're just passing out these yoga books, waiting for the yoga class to come out. And he's like, are you sure you're just passing them out? And we're like, yeah. And so the yoga class was kind of upstairs, and the first lady that came, she bought a Bhagavad Gita from us. Like, we didn't even have to say anything. She just grabbed the Bhagavad Gita.
I was looking at him in binoculars from my truck.
That's the supervisor.
So we did pretty good there. And Shakshi went up to this one, this lady, and we asked her, we were just passing out these perfection of yogas, because that was the only ones we really had left. And she gave us 20 for one. And she...
Before, we actually just charged $3 for it.
And so I was like, ma'am, would you like your change? She was like, no, I already gave you the money just to, so you could be quiet.
And then after that, we end up, at the end, we made, like, $150, and... And then we had to pay for, like, gas and everything, so that shortened us down to, like back to $100 again, so... Then after that, we went to a gas station, and that was the best place we went to. And, like, once we went to this, I was telling Nandana, I was like, hey, that's a good person. And after that, the person moved, and I didn't see. And after that, it was a different person, and the guy opened the door and it was like this really big guy. We're like, whoa, well, that's not the guy that I was looking at.
So me and Shakshi were kind of scared to talk to him. Because, I mean, his shirt was ripped. I mean, huge. Couldn't even fit in his car. So me and Shakshi were just like, would you like to give a donation to help out? And then he was like, no. We were like, okay, maybe next time. And Shakshi was like, did you see the size of that guy? And so we went out of there, and where else did we go?
Next to the gas station, those ladies gave us some
money. Oh, yeah, those ladies gave us some money. But then we tried the parking lot. There was, like, a grocery store behind it, and no one would buy a book there. Everyone was just telling us to shut up and walk away. We were like, and then we actually started begging. We were like, please, please. And then they were like, be quiet. Leave us alone. And then me and Shakshi were like, all right, it's time to move. And so...
went to that dog place.
Oh, yeah, we went to the dog place. Like, there was this a place where they came in for dogs, like, by the Dollar General. And we didn't do so great, but a lot of people were giving us donations there. And I think that was the last place we went until we came back to the temple. And we walked around looking for Maharaj. We couldn't find him. And then we were all the way down by Giri's house.
And after that, we noticed Maharaj by like Mother Manjawali's house, which is at like the end of the block. And we were like running across the street and like not caring about cars or anything. We're like, Maharaj, stop and everything. And they were just about to close the door when we got there. It was like this close, and I was like, stop! And he opened the door. He opened the door, and Nandana fell on the ground. He gave the big wad of money. It was like, whoa! He's like, this is what we made and everything. And it was a pretty good experience.
So really, they worked 4.5 hours in 2 days, and they did 50 higher tastes, 11 yoga books, and 1 Bhagavad Gita. $200!
So, this is the Sankirtan movement. Well, I mean, one little branch of it. And, yeah, especially in the West, Srila Prabhupada really wanted us to distribute his books. Anjana Sutta Prabhu here, he's and Don Kaley Prabhu together, they're promoting book distribution on the weekend. It's like Weekend Warriors. So they set up book tables on the weekend, and devotees can join them. There are other ways, so, you know, that's a way of pleasing Krishna. Once Tamal Krishna Goswami said that he could speak about whatever the verse was, in whatever scripture it was, he could speak about Sankirtan and relate it to the verse. Because he said that, you know, all of our scriptures are ultimately about bhakti, and bhakti means to please Krishna, and Sankirtan pleases Krishna the most. So whatever verse it is, he could relate it to Sankirtan. So thank you, gentlemen. Very nice. Thank you. your example of fearlessness and courage, ingenuity, resourcefulness, and quick thinking and talking will serve as an example and inspiration for all of us. Hare Krishna. So, shall we? Where's our host? Very good. Very good. Yes. So we'll have Nrisinga Arti. Pray to Lord Nrisingadev to protect us in our devotional service and protect us from the external and internal demons.